I just want to see who's awakened with me. You guys awakened with me? All right. Okay, let's start off with this. Okay, here we go. I cannot wait to screw up my life this year. It's going to be horrible and devastating, said no one ever, right? Like, nobody starts the year saying, it's going to be a crappy year. I can't wait, you know? And yet, so often what I see as a pastor, and as even just a friend or somebody in the community, I see so many people want to start the year right, but their habits in life are leading them way down the wrong road, right? That it's so hard. Nobody intends to wreck their life. It's not like you jump into marriage and say, can't wait to screw this one up and get a divorce. Like, you don't do that, you know? Or, boy, I can't wait to get back into the alcohol and really get drunk every night and lose my family. Like, I can't wait for that. Like, nobody says or believes or thinks those things, yet they still happen in many people's lives throughout the year. I think we want to start 2021 with a different note. Can I get an amen? Right? And so you're at church, good start. Like, I'm clapping you, like, way to go, right? You showed up. Coronavirus and all, you guys are in it, right? You say, I'm showing up, I'm going to be present. And those of you who are online, I'm not trying to guilt you, but you can show up if you want to. You don't have to. You're still joining us online. Good job. You showed up online. Way to go, joining us for this. Now, we are starting this series, and we're using this word thrive, right? Because we want you to thrive as pastors, as leaders here in the church. It's our desire that you would really thrive this year. As we were praying about and thinking about and talking about as a teaching team, what is the series going to be for the new year? And I had originally had some ideas, like later on in the summer, I start thinking about series and kind of where I think God's going to be leading us. And we were thinking about this word thrive, this word thrive. The reality is for us, though, as pastors and leaders, we have no control over any of your lives. Sometimes that's annoying, right? Do you know why that's annoying sometimes for a pastor? Is because we as leaders and pastors can see where people are heading. When they come and they have a conversation and they talk about the things that are going on in their life, it's like God gives us wisdom and discernment in those conversations to know if they keep down that path, this is a train wreck that's going to happen. And we can say, or we can counsel, or we can help, or we can preach as much as we want till we're blue in the face, but we have no control over you. You are the only one who has control over you. And our desire as Christians is that we let the Lord be controlling over us, that we submit to our Heavenly Father and we walk into that. So no matter how much I say, no matter how much I preach, no matter how much like Pastor Jim meets with you in counseling, no matter how much you meet with Nikki and she like helps you grow, like no matter what we do as leaders to help, it's on you. It's called self-leadership, right? And so whether we see you're heading down a train wreck or not, my prayer is that God might open your eyes to some directions that you're heading that are going to lead to something that you never intended in your life throughout this next 8 weeks. Because you need to get off that train and you need to get on a different one that's going to cause you to thrive. These are the antonyms of the word thrive, meaning this is what we don't want. This is the opposite: to fail, decay, wane, wither, decline, waste, languish, or diminish. Right? Nobody wants those things, but a lot of times in our life we experience those things. And the majority of the time, it's because our own choices, right? We start going down a path that just leads us to a place where we are not thriving. This is what we want. The synonyms, like these are other words that look like the word thrive, right? We want you to blossom, to bloom, to develop, to flourish, to prosper, to shine, to succeed, to grow. That's why this word, I think, is the good word to start 2021 off with, right? Because who wants this? Show of hands. Can I show of hands, anybody? Okay. If you don't, you can leave. See ya. Like, you can walk out right now and be like, nope, Tim, don't want any of that stuff. But just so you know, we want it for you. And I believe God wants this for you as well. And so we're going to really understand what the word thrive means. Because you may have a misconception where thrive, you see the word prosper. It's like, that means everything's always going to be good and everything's going to be growing like all the time. That's not life, right? Like, life is peaks and valleys. You're going to go through the hard times and the good times. Thriving, actually to really thrive in the most difficult seasons, is a proof of your faith in God, right? It proves your character. It proves your integrity. It proves who you really are. That's the proving ground. You can't truly thrive unless you actually go through some hard times in life. And so there's that tension between like thriving in the good times but thriving in the bad times. Here's a definition. The definition of thrive. This is in the book, okay? To progress toward or realize a goal despite or because of circumstances. I love that it does a little bit of everything in that definition, right? It's to grow, right? To to progress toward or to get to a goal. Like, there's a goal, I'm moving towards it, or boom, I arrived at it. Awesome. Despite circumstances, meaning to thrive means that there's going to be hard circumstances, and despite those, I'm still going to grow, right? I'm still going to reach for that goal. Or because of circumstances, maybe God put some things in your life that helps you, catapults you, right, into whatever that is and whatever that growth is. But thriving is all the above. It's progressing towards, it's arriving at, it's in the hard times, and it's in the good times. We want you to thrive in 2021. And so we're going to be teaching over these 8 weeks, all through January and February, key things that we have learned as pastors and leaders, that we've seen and we've taught people that when they've implemented into their life, they've thrived, okay? And that's why we're calling it Secrets to Thrive, because we want to reveal them, all right? These are the things that we see and know and learn and have grown in as leaders and as pastors, and things that we've grown in, an understanding of how the Holy Spirit works, how God works in connection with God's word, and then when we obey, what happens, right? What happens to thrive, all right? So I do have some fill-in-the-blanks, so if you do have a worship program, you can grab a pen. There should be some pens around you or one in your pocket or wherever. But this is where we're heading, okay, this morning. You need the right habits, right? Because the right habits will cause you to thrive no matter the circumstances of life, okay? The right habits that you put into your life will cause you to thrive, to do all those good things, to prosper, succeed, you know, move towards, no matter what, no matter the circumstances of life. I don't know what 2021 is going to bring. I'm praying for better things than 2020, but I'm also not missing out on the good things that happened in 2020, because I'm not letting the darkness overshadow the light of what God has done in my own life, my family's life, and the church life, the things that we had to grow in and push through. Like, no matter the circumstances, let's learn how to thrive, but it takes the what? The right, say it with me, the right habits. Habits. There was a book that I had our staff read. I think it was called The Power of Habit. I believe it is what it was called. And by Charles Duhigg. It's an older book. It's like 2012. But such like crazy things to learn about how habits work in people's lives in this book. And there were so many aha moments as I listened to it, because I'm an Audible guy. So I listened to the book, and we all read it together as a staff, the stories that we heard. And the fact of the matter is that habits determine your life, right? Like, we are the culmination of every habit we do every day. And some of them we're in control of, and some of them actually go into our subconscious, meaning the majority of the things that our habits in our life, we don't even think about it. We just do them. It's just a natural response, right? Like, there's certain things you do every single day that just, you do it. You don't have to make a decision, like, am I going to do that today or am I not? You just, boop, you just do it, right? You smell a brownie, you eat a brownie. It's just a habit, you live with it, right? Because there's this cycle with habits. There's this cue with a habit that's like, oh yeah, boom, there's a cue. And then there's the action of the habit, like, okay, that means I'm going to do this, whatever the actual action is. And then there's the reward. What do I get out of it at the end? Right? So the brownie thing is cue, that smells good, brownie, action, yes, I'm eating that brownie, reward, that was a good brownie, right? Like, that tasted good and it was warm in my tummy now. Right? So that's a simple thing. It can get really dangerous with habits though, can it? Things that become destructive in our life, boom, there might be a cue, it might be stress, anxiety, worry, leads to an action. And that action may not be healthy for you, but it's the thing you go to relieve whatever it is, right? And so, boom, you do that action and the reward for you is a sense of absence from that stress, right? It's a momentary like relief from the stress you're experiencing, even though as soon as you're done with it, that stress just comes right back, right? We get into these habit loops in our life. Some are good, some are fruitful, some are bad, some are unhealthy. This is a quote from Sean Covey. He says, "Our habits will make us or break us. We become what we repeatedly do." That's what happens, right? Now, if any of you recognize anything I'm saying right now, it's because I said it this exact time last year to you. Does anybody remember my sermon a year ago? Man, I quit. Nobody remembers what I say, Jim. Jim raises his hand. He's like, ugh. My boss said if I remembered, I'm going to... Okay, I'm just kidding. I said that last year. So the reason I repeat myself and so that we can hear it again, because we need reminded often, and we need those moments, those times in our life where it's like pause button on life. Let me look at what's going on for real. Let me look inside of my life. Let me look at the habits. Let me look at relationships. Let me look at my relationship with God. And like you stop and you pause and you take an assessment. And today, that's what we're doing. Today is personal self-assessment. Where are you as you start 2021? Where are things in your life as you start 2021? This is my prayer for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may God himself, that's who I want you to experience more than anything, the God of peace, who wants that, sanctify you through and through. That means grow you up. He's going to sanctify. He's going to take the bad things out of your life, put the good things in your life. That's a process of sanctification. He wants to change you, right? Through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, that's what we're longing and waiting for. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns and brings everything back into order. No more sin, brokenness, all of it's finished, right? In the meantime, he is sanctifying us. He's helping us put off our old self, put on the new self, get rid of the habits that don't look like Christ, put on the truth and the habits that look like him. And he wants to do it with our whole spirit. Spirit, that spirit part of us is the spirit inside of us that connects us with the Spirit of God. It's the spiritual part of our being that we exist in relationship with this holy God. Our soul, which is our emotional part of our being, it's our relational part. That's how we connect with other people, because we have a soul that we connect with one another, and our body. We are physical beings, right? We have arms, legs, move, health, like we have a body. And for 2021, I want all of us to thrive in our spirit, soul, and body. Now, during this series, we're probably going to be talking a lot about this and a lot about this. I'm going to have you create your own resolutions about that, okay? And actually, we are going to be doing something called prayer and fasting that has to do with this, and I'll get to that at the end of the message. But this is what we want. God, sanctify me through my whole spirit, soul, and body as I wait for you to come and to return and to come back. So, as we are in that process, let's do a self-assessment, because you can fill in the blank here. I need to know where I'm at to know where I need to grow, okay? I need to know where I'm at to know where I need to grow. If I don't know where I'm at, then I don't know where the train's heading, right? I don't know if I'm going to head towards a train wreck in 2021. I don't know if I'm going to head to blessing and better relationships or deeper relationship with God in 2021. If I don't know where I'm at, I don't know where I'm going, right? And so today we are going to stop and we're going to assess, where are you at? And I'm starting with your relationship with God himself, okay? That's where we need to start. So I'm going to teach you something that we use here at New Hope to help us, okay? Let me ask this question. Everybody with me? Yeah? Okay. Cool. All right, here we go. This is what we call the discipleship wheel, okay? We call it that because we want to help make disciples. That's what Jesus told the church to do. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything, teaching them to obey everything as we wait for him to come back, right? That's what we're called to do as a church, is make disciples. Now, all of us in this room, though, come from a different background, a different faith history. We come from different backgrounds with knowing God, not knowing God, being trained in the Bible since we were three, or this is your first time in the doors of a church, and you're glad you didn't burn up when you entered, right? Like, we're all in different places spiritually. So how in the world can a pastor, like, teach when all of us are at all these different places spiritually and on different journeys, right? What does that look like? Well, this is what we use to help us understand how to help you grow. Okay? And so let me walk you through the growth stages in spiritual life. I've rarely found people jump through this really fast, okay? Because when you first come to know Christ, it's the beginning, right? You're starting young. So let's start here. We're going to start here and work our way around. Before you know Christ, you are spiritually dead, meaning you're without God. You're living for yourself and just living for the world. And that's why we say when you're spiritually dead, you're just living for the world. It's like, well, I have today. I'm living today. See what happens tomorrow. That it is what it is. And then at some point, some point, my prayer for everybody is that they experience salvation. I mean, they come to an understanding that God loves them. God wants a relationship with them. They don't have to just float through life and die and that's it. Like, they can live with purpose. They can walk in salvation and forgiveness of sins. Like, that's the gospel. That's what Jesus did, dying on the cross, paying for our sins so that we can have a relationship with him and God forever. And so the first starting point right here is salvation, moving spiritually dead to now, boom, you've met Christ and you start walking with Christ. Then you enter the first stage of spiritual growth, which is spiritual infant. I use the word infant, child, young adult, and parent. Just thinking about growth, that's a natural growth pattern. All of us have gone through those natural growth stages. Maybe not all of you. Some of you are still children. You know, we don't have any infants in the room. But spiritually speaking, when you come to know Christ, you're a spiritual infant, meaning you don't know a whole lot about this God that you just now started a relationship with. You don't know a whole lot about the Bible. You're just like amazed at everything that you read every time you read it. And we use this word ignorance at this spiritual stage, meaning you don't know what you don't know, right? And it can be overwhelming because you don't know what you don't know, and you see a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, and you feel like inferior. It can become overwhelming, and some people feel that way so much in a church experience that they just leave that church because nobody's helping them, right? Nobody's helping you understand what the Bible says, what that means for you, and then what you need to change in your life to look more and more like Christ, right? That's what happens in the spiritual infant stage. You're just learning. You're figuring it out. You're starting to understand the Bible, okay? But you're ignorant mostly about God, about scriptures, about all of it. And that's okay. That's okay. But we want you to continue to grow, to become then what we call a spiritual child, okay? You move from infancy to childhood. Now, anybody here have kids? Anybody have kids? Kids are so easy, right? It's like such an easy thing to do, just raising children. I'm glad we get the handbook at the beginning, and you know, you just do the things, and boom, they're perfect kids. That's not how it works, right? But one thing I do know about children is that as a child then moves from infancy, they still become pretty selfish, right? Like, children need their parents to take care of them all the time. Like, feed me, make me lunch, make me dinner, make me, you know, wipe my butt, whatever it might be, right? Like kids, they just need to be taken care of, and their lives are really wrapped around them. And that's a natural stage of life because they're still growing, still figuring things out. Now, spiritual children, as you grow, are still the same way. You become kind of self-centered in your relationship with God and maybe connection with church. And we would say that you might be a consumer. Like, you want to experience things of God. You come, and as you come, you're mostly just thinking about, what can I get out of it, right? What can I get out of that worship service? What can I get out of the Bible study? And you're thinking more about yourself. And that's okay in that season of spiritual growth because you still need to be fed and understand and grow. Okay? Everybody with me? You understand it? Okay. Our goal is that you don't stay there, though. You continue to grow as a disciple of Christ to where you move from a child to a spiritual young adult. You think about this naturally. You get into your 18, 19, 20s, early 20s, you're figuring out life at that point. You're on your own, maybe you have your own place, you got your first real job. You start living in such a way that you're producing something, right? You're giving back to the community, you're giving back to employment, whatever it might be. So spiritual young adults now are becoming less just self-focused, what can I get out of it? And they're becoming God-focused and others-focused. Meaning a spiritual young adult now is serving, using their gifts in the church body. They're figuring out how to help others and meet needs and how to be generous. That's what a spiritual young adult does. They learn more about not consuming, but now giving, right, to the body that they belong to. So they become God-centered, serving others in the church body. And so they're feeling more confident in scriptures, and they understand, and they're still continuing growing and changing, to where then they become a spiritual parent. Now, to be a parent means you have to have a kid, right? That's what it means. And spiritual parents are the ones who are helping those who are spiritual infants and children and young adults. These are the people who are helping them grow. They're helping them learn new truth. They're helping them understand God's word and continue to walk into obedience in his word. They are making disciples. They're spiritually mature and they're feeding themselves biblically, right? They're feeding themselves in God's word. They're feeding themselves in scriptures. In using the Holy Spirit and serving in a higher capacity in the church body, okay? So from spiritually dead to an infant, to child, to young adult, to parent. Does this make sense to everybody? Right? So as you think about this journey of spiritual growth, this is what we use as a church to help accomplish our mission, okay? Our mission here at New Hope is to help those who are broken find wholeness in Christ. That's why we exist. Excuse me. And so everything we do, we want it to be pointing towards that. And everybody in this room has a different point of brokenness, right? The reality is we all come broken. People who are coming spiritually mature still come with brokenness. People who are infants we all come with brokenness into our spiritual walk and our journey. And so we want to help you take steps in each one of these phases so that you can continue to grow, that you can continue to see God take the brokenness out of your life, replace it with the wholeness that he wants, right? And so we have ways that we do that. Now, I'm going to get into scripture, and then we're going to come back to this, okay? So if you have your Bibles, I always encourage you, bring your Bibles, right? Open up your Bibles. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. In the New Testament, you know, past the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then keep going, you'll see the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 4, we're going to be starting in verse 11 here in just a minute. Because I'm talking about habits, and I'm talking about now the church and church leaders, our mission as a church to help you, how do we accomplish this? How do we actually do this? What is the role of the church, and what is the role of pastors and leaders to help you continue to grow as a disciple of Christ? Okay, that's what we're going to learn in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you're with me in Ephesians 4, I want you to say, yep. Okay, and those online, join us in reading this. So this is just a powerful chapter in the whole Bible that explains how the church works. This is God's dream church. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. So these are the leaders in the church. So Christ is the head of the church, and then he gave to the church not just like one leader to be the one person that leads everybody. He gave people and leaders with different gifts, gifts of apostleship and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, these different gifts as a team. And their purpose is what? Verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. So our job as pastors isn't to do all the work of ministry. That's kind of an old school mentality of church and church pastors, right? You hire the pastor to do all the ministry, so then the church body can just benefit from that person's ministry. That's unbiblical and has led to a lot of burnout, a lot of broken families, a lot of divorce in the church. Like, it's ruined the church because it was never God's dream. God said, no, I just don't want one leader. I want a group of leaders, and I want them to equip the whole body, everybody in the church. I want them to be the equippers to his people for works of service so that all of us can be a part of the body using what God's given us to bless and serve each other, right? That's the dream church. And then he says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's a part of our mission. The wholeness of Christ is the way we say it. That we want to help equip you so that you can experience the fullness, the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, and attain to the whole measure and fullness of him. Then we will no longer be infants. Did you see that word? Then we will no longer be spiritually ignorant and just do whatever. He said, no. Then we'll no longer be infants. We'll grow. We won't be tossed back and forth by the waves. We won't be blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by every cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Like, we don't have to live like that. I think there's a lot of American Christianity that this describes it. That there's Christians who are being tossed back and forth, staying in spiritual infancy, not truly living into their calling, not truly being equipped to be a part of a church body. They're just coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. That's not God's dream church. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, which is what we try to do here, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, all of us, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That is God's dream church. And so when we think about, like, where are you? We're doing a self-assessment. Where are you with God? Where are you in connection with his church? Where are you spiritually, right? We want to help you grow wherever you are to wherever you need to be next, okay? So let's do assessment, okay? Everybody, you have a piece of paper. Everybody has a pen. Everybody has something to write something down with. This is what I want you to do, okay? I want you to take a self-assessment. The way I just described each role in this discipleship wheel, I want you to write down where you are. Where are you? Be honest. Like, don't be like, I want to be here, so I'm going to stay here. Like, where are you spiritually in relationship with God? Are you an infant? Do you feel like, man, there's just a lot of stuff I don't know and I feel overwhelmed? Are you a child? Like, church is about what you get and what you can get out of it. Are you a young adult? Meaning, are you serving? Are you starting to use your gifts? Are you a spiritual parent? Are you discipling other people? Do you want to help lead and teach other people? Like, where are you right now spiritually? Okay. All right, everybody have that? Are you being real? Okay. Because some of you might, well, I mean, I'm kind of doing this, but I'm kind of here, or kind of doing this, kind of doing, and you might be a little bit, you know, you're like on the line, you know, that's okay, you know, wherever you are. We just draw lines so that we can help create steps to help you grow. So let me talk about some steps here at New Hope to help you grow from wherever you are on the train, spiritually speaking, and where you should go next, okay? If you're spiritually ignorant, meaning you just don't know what you don't know, keep coming on Sundays, absolutely, right? Keep coming. You're going to hear stuff. You're going to learn stuff. But if that's where you're at, you're going to have a hard time growing because you're not going to have anybody to talk to about the questions you have. So I would encourage you, if you're kind of in this realm, spiritually speaking, I would get into a small group, okay? Or join a growth class. We have a new class that's starting. Get into a circle with a smaller circle than this where you can ask your questions with some people who are farther down the journey than you so that you can start learning who God really is and how you can really grow and change. So if this is you, that's my encouragement. Join something smaller, whether it's a small group here at New Hope or whether it's a growth class that's a little bit smaller that meets here on Wednesdays. But I would encourage you, take that step, okay? Get connected in community. Now, if you're kind of down here and you're a spiritual child, maybe you've learned a lot, but you know you're just coming to get, here's your next step. This is the step that we create to help you go from here to here. It's this thing that we call our growth track, okay? Our growth track here at New Hope, it's 4 Sundays in a row. It starts next Sunday at the 9 o'clock gathering upstairs in our meeting rooms. In each one of those classes, you're going to learn about who we are as a church. You're going to go deeper into what the discipleship wheel. We teach you what it means to be a disciple, what that looks like. Then we teach you about the Holy Spirit and how the gifts of the Spirit works, that God has a purpose in your life. And then we want to empower you to start to move into thinking of others and serving and using what God's given you, okay? That's what our growth track is all about, helping you move from here to here. So if you haven't done that yet and you're here or even like around here somewhere, I would encourage you, sign up for the growth track, show up next Sunday, 9 o'clock, and plug in and see what God might teach you on that journey, okay? So that's what we help you go there. Okay, is everybody with me? 7 of you, okay. Now, if you're here, maybe you're like serving, maybe you're like helping in the cafe or a greeter, or maybe you're like starting to plug in or doing some things, you're kind of like, okay, but what could be next? We want to help equip and empower you here to learn how to be a self-leader, meaning how to be emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, and we want to help equip you to lead yourself well so you can start leading others well. That's what we have here at New Hope, and what we put here is called equip. You've heard us talk about equip over this last year, and you're going to hear at the end, you can plug into a new round of equip that we're starting this week, okay? And in equip, it's a 12-month journey. We go deep into this one. because this is where, honestly, we've seen the most life change in our church, is when people have said, you know what, I'm ready to really grow. And some of you, 2021 needs to be the year where you really grow. I'm going to tell you, if you're here, you can still be a part of Equip as well. And it'll actually fast-track you into some ways in your life that you never thought that God would grow you in, okay? So maybe if you're a spiritual child or young adult, it may be time for you to jump into an Equip cohort. And this is how Equip works here at New Hope. It is a 12-month journey. It's broken up into three sections, okay? And in those three sections, what we do is we have a website called walkinglikejesus.com where Pastor Jim and myself have developed a curriculum where there's video teaching throughout 2 weeks. You get to watch like four or five videos. And then every other week, you meet with a cohort, which is just a small group of people where you talk about what you learned and talk about what God's doing in your life. And you just do that. And I'm telling you, the most change I've ever seen in people's lives. Like, this is the thing I'm most excited about, of what God's doing to help people grow, help freeing people, help brokenness move to wholeness. Like, it's been powerful. Right, Jim? Yeah, who in here would say amen who's been through it? Can I get an amen from some of you? Right? Okay. So there you go. Glowing review. Jump in. All right? And so those are the steps that we create to help you become a disciple. Okay? So we're pretty intentional here at New Hope. We want to help you walk on that journey, okay? So where are you? Where do you need to grow next? What step connected to the body here at New Hope do you need to take to take that next step, okay? All of it's starting in January. Growth track is starting in January. Growth class is starting in a week and a half on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Tony Lieb, our teaching elder, he just, man, who's been in one of the growth classes? Just show of hands who's been in the growth classes. Like, has that been awesome, like being a part of that? It's like you're just growing and growing and growing and understanding the Bible way more. And they're going through 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles in the Old Testament. And you might be like, boy, do I need to start there? Just start somewhere. Like, jump in, start somewhere and start building some friendships and relationships. We're starting Equip right now. And, yeah, everything is starting right now. So welcome to 2021. Let's get on the train. Right? Let's choose to grow. Let's choose to become disciples. Let's choose to spiritually take a step in the right direction. Now, as we start the new year, I only have a few minutes to talk about this. We as a church every year start with a season of prayer and fasting. So we start with a spiritual habit that takes us deep quick every single year, okay? And so for us, let me teach you just very briefly on what fasting is, the spiritual habit we're kicking into. In Matthew chapter 6, we see Jesus teaching. He's teaching the Pharisees and the leaders and all that stuff, but he's teaching his disciples. And he makes some statements. In verse 2, he says, when you give. And in verse 5, he says, when you pray. He's making assumptions that if you're walking with God, you're giving and you're praying, right? Like these are just spiritual habits that should be in your life as a Christ follower, as a disciple. And then he gets down to verse 16 and he says, when you what? Fast. It's an assumption as a Christian that he's saying, you're going to fast. There's going to be seasons where you put something off in your life so you can focus on a relationship with God deeper. So when you fast, and this is what he teaches. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. He's talking about the religious in that time. I wanted everybody to know that they're more holy. And look at me, I'm fasting, I'm wasting away, look at me. He said, well, you received your reward, which was everybody looking at you. That was it. They received nothing from God. He says, but when you fast, again, the expectation, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father. Your heavenly Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Meaning, this is a personal spiritual habit between you and your heavenly Father. And it says, when you fast. So let me describe what fasting is. I read the passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, where we talked about may your whole spirit, soul, and body, right? That God's made us as triune beings. There's three parts to who we are. And our triune being, our spirit, our soul, and our body are always active in our life. They're always doing something. And in our life, one of those three things is usually winning over the other two, right, in our life. Like sometimes our bodies win over our soul and our spirit. Like our body, anybody ever been really, really hungry? Probably not right now. You just got through the holidays, you know, that kind of thing. But like when you get really, really hungry, your body's telling you, I'm hungry, I need to eat something. Noises start coming out of your body that you're like, am I calling a whale? Like what's, you know, what is happening inside my body? And our body is like telling us, eat this, eat this, eat this. And then what can happen is our body actually longs for something that doesn't really take care of our body the way it ought to. And it more feeds our emotions. And so we're trying to take care of our body and our emotions, but our spirit, we actually shove aside, right? We don't listen to God or what God's saying to us. We want to do what our body's telling us, and we want to do something actually harmful that probably wouldn't be so good for us, right? So like there's always a tension between the three parts of our being, of wanting to get control. And the reality is, do you know which one wins? Whichever one you feed the most, right? If your body is trying to be king of the hill, it's going to continue to want more and more and more and more. It turns into gluttony, right? Or it can be the opposite, where maybe your body's ruling and you get self-obsessed about your identity, your physical identity, and so you start working out and you work out and you work out and you work out and you work out to where you're doing something that was good, but now it's obsessive. Now your body's winning over your soul and your spirit, right? Like, that's whatever you feed the most is what's going to be king of the hill of your life, right? It's going to rule. Is it your soul, your emotional part of your being, relationships? There's some people who will do things emotionally and not care what their body's telling them or what the spirit's telling them, right? They need to like feed their emotions somehow. Whether that's healthy, maybe in finding friendships or having conversations with people who you need to have conversations with, or it can get really unhealthy, right? You start doing damaging things to your body and your spirit because your soul is so weak or broken or depressed. But if that's what you're feeding, the other two are going to lose, right? See, this is what fasting is. Fasting is saying, I'm going to focus on my spirit and I'm going to let go of some things that I would normally feed my emotions, my soul, and my body, right? That's what fasting is. It's saying, I want the spirit to be the king of the hill in my life for this season. The reality is we want it to be the king of the hill of our life every season. But fasting is a specific season with a specific time frame saying, no, I'm going to go without something that I would feed my body, right? So we see in the Bible, as we talk about this body, soul, and spirit thing, that the majority of fasting in Scripture is fasting from a certain food, okay? See, in the Old Testament, Daniel, he fasted from sweets and treats and drinks at the king's table. He wasn't going to do that. He fasted from it so he could focus on God, and God showed up. God listened to him as he prayed and fasted. And we see all throughout the Old Testament, into the New Testament, that's a lot of what fasting is in Scripture. It's not eating certain things so that you can focus on your spirit, okay? We take it to another level and also talk about things that feed our emotions. We can fast from things that we normally fill ourselves up with, like entertainment, right? Maybe gaming, maybe our phones or Facebook or social media. Fasting from things that we normally go to just for a quick fix emotionally, right? Or just to like numb us for a little bit. We're going to fast from those things and instead we're going to go to God. God, this is how I'm feeling. God, this is what's going on inside of me right now. God, I want you to work in my life this way. I'm praying and I want to see you move, right? So it's setting those things aside and focusing on God deeper, getting into God's word more often, praying more often. So this is what fasting is. Fasting is setting things aside for a season that normally feed our body or soul in order to focus on and feed our spirit. We express our commitment in our pursuit of God through faith, sacrifice, and prayer. And we see what Jesus taught in Matthew. He said, when you do that, not to show everybody else, not to be like, look at me, I'm giving up Facebook for 2 weeks. You know, like, so don't go on Facebook and say, hey guys, I'm fasting from Facebook. Like, that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do, okay? It's between you and your Heavenly Father, right? And so when we go before Heavenly Father and say, God, I want to see you work in my life in this way. And that's a point of fasting. You want to pray for something that you really want to see God work in, okay? It's a season to go deeper with him in a specific area of your life. And so my question for you is, what do you want for 2021? Like, where do you want to see God move in your life in 2021? Don't get selfish with it. Don't be like, I want to win the lottery, and that's what I'm going to fast for. And God's going to be like, that's not what I want for you. I want you to learn contentment with what you have, right? If we pray the opposite of his word, we're not fasting right. What we want to be praying for is, what do you want to see God move in a relationship? If there's something that's broken or something that's been hurt or something that's gone south, and for you, you want to start this season of prayer and fasting saying, God, I want to see healing in this relationship or this group of relationships. Or maybe it's health. Maybe there's some physical health issues that you have that you're like, I haven't seen any change. The doctors don't know what's going on. I'm going to pray and fast for this season and just ask my Heavenly Father, show me what's going on. Bring healing into my body. I just, so you know, I have a God who is a healer. I've seen him do it. He still does it. And maybe for you, that's what you need to focus on during this season, right? Or maybe for you, it's giving something up because you want him to help you give it up. Maybe there's an addiction or there's a habit that you know is leading you down the wrong path, and that season of fasting is putting it off, and then you're just interceding and asking God, please help me conquer this. Help me be free from this in my life. I don't know what it is for you, but that's the beginning part of a season of fasting, is determining, what do I want to see God do in my life? And then give something up, okay? Give something up. So here's the steps we're taking. Write down who you want to be. Okay, for 2021, where do you want to see God working? Okay, choose what you're going to fast from. Okay, make a decision. This starts next Sunday, so you have a whole week to work on this. Okay, we're fasting from the 10th through the 31st in January for 21 days. Choose what you're going to fast from. Are you going to fast from certain foods? Are you going to fast from like sweets, treats, and only drink water during that season? Are you going to fast a meal on a certain day? Like, we don't get legalistic about it. It's your commitment to God. It's between you and him, okay? It could be for you on Mondays, Wednesdays, and then Fridays, I'm not eating lunch and I'm fasting during lunch, and instead I'm going to go sit in my car and I'm going to pray and I'm going to read the scripture, right? So just make whatever commitment you want to make, make it. What are you going to fast from? What thing that you normally fill your emotions or your soul with, what entertainment? Like, choose, when are you going to fast from it? And then what are you going to do in place of it? Okay? Next week, we're going to be giving you lots of tools. We're going to be giving you a reading plan, meaning a Bible reading plan where you can check off each day. And we're going to have three different levels. So if you're like new to the Bible and you're like, you don't want to read the whole Bible in 3 weeks, we're not going to make you do that, okay? Because that's all you would do, okay? But some of you are going to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through those 21 days. Some of you, you might read the whole New Testament through those 21 days. We're going to have different reading plans to help you to spend that time with God. And we're going to give you tools every Sunday. You're going to get homework, okay? Woo-hoo! This isn't like school homework. This is life-changing homework. If you do it, you'll experience it, okay? And then this week, you'll need to prepare your heart, your mind, and your body. Start preparing for a fast, okay? Don't just think you're going to Mardi Gras. Like, do you know what Mardi Gras is? It's live it up before you give it up. That's what Mardi Gras is, right? It's like I'm going to feast like, or I'm going to eat all the sugar and drink all the pop because I'm giving it up tomorrow. You're going to feel like crap the next day, just so you know, right? And then you're going to give it up, and then you get to the end of the fast, and you're going to be like, I'm going to splurge the day after, and then you're going to feel like crap, okay? So prepare. Don't like Mardi Gras, live it up, just start preparing for that, okay? So this is what we're doing. January 10th through 31, we're fasting. We're going to have resources. We are actually, it's really cool. I'm glad the prayer team and Nikki was like, can we do this year? I'm like, let's do it. We're going to do Wednesday night prayer nights through the season of fasting, okay, here at the church. So it's going to be worship and prayer together, and it's going to be from 6 to 7 here at the church. And so if you want to come to that, then you can just stay and go right up to the class with Tony, because his class starts at 7 on Wednesdays. And student ministries happens here on Wednesdays. So if you've got a student or a teenager, why don't you show up, bring your student. They can join for the first part and then go to youth group. We're trying to be like, let's figure out a good spot to do that. So we're doing that through the whole series. We're going to give you reading plans, and we're going to help you with weekly journals to go deeper as you walk through this, okay? So that all starts next Sunday as we move into this season together. Okay, I think that's all I got. Do you guys want any more? I don't know if you need it. Anybody need any more? Okay. But I do want you to self-assess. Where are you? Where do you want to go? And where do you want to see God work in your life? Those are the big questions. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the tools to use to grow. Thank you for helping us experience salvation, becoming spiritual infants and growing to be children and young adults and spiritual parents, and helping us as a church try to be so intentional to help people grow. I pray that each one of us this morning, that you will lead us to our next step and that we'd be willing to take it. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will help us by the power of your Spirit to push against fear. Fear is a jerk. Fear is not from you. Fear is the enemy's tool to keep us frozen. So I pray against that in the name of Jesus this morning. Whoever needs to break out of fear by your power, help them break out of fear into this next step, into a better season for 2021. God, I pray that you prepare us as a church family for what you're going to teach us in these next 8 weeks. Holy Spirit, that you will lead in ways that we cannot understand, that you'll lead each of us individually into new things, that we would see, know, and experience you in real ways. And God, I pray over our church family, protect us from the evil one. Surround us and let us just be in your presence every day. And we just thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Do you know what amen means? It means so be it.